Well, thank you so much, Frank, and thank you for having me. Thank you to BizArts. I'm totally thrilled to be here and to have all this stuff and to be able to show both of these bodies of work at the same time. I'm going to give you a quick introduction to both of these bodies of work, but of course, please, you know, either ask me questions or find me afterwards. I'm happy to talk your ear off, right? So this, we'll start over here. This body of work is called Early America, and I started this body of work in probably the fall of 2014, and a lot of my work deals with kind of conceptually ideas of history, right? So how we like romanticize certain epochs in the past, or how we retell stories about the past. And the big metaphor to me is sort of like a game of telephone, right? When you retell a story over and over again, it changes every time you tell it, and you end up with something that I think probably tells you more about what we care about now than anything sort of objective that happened in the past, right? So being in Philadelphia, you get this sort of narrative of the American Revolution sort of shoved in your face all the time. And, you know, I couldn't resist, right? So this this body of work sort of deals with that time period, right? So this is all sort of objects, pieces of material culture from 18th century America. And the other sort of thread in these things, I should also be clear that these are all my replicas, right? So it's not as if I'm getting original objects and making molds of them, right? These are all created by me. And that's a really important metaphor, right? Because when I go to make a replica, I'm doing that today as a 21st century person with 21st century tools and materials, right? And so those things always differ from the originals, right? I can't get those same materials. I don't have the patience for the processes that they used, et cetera, et cetera. So there are these really highly artificial objects. I use it's a red casting plastic that you see throughout this body of work, and I use it because it kind of just obviously doesn't belong to that era, right? Like, plastics did not exist in the 18th century, so it really highlights their artificiality. And the other thread is I'm really interested in how museums and historic sites present objects, right, and how that presentation shapes their meaning. So, you know, these little kind of pieces of aluminum are sort of really just like infrastructure, right, to sort of solve for holding an object in this certain position, right? I use aluminum because, again, it's a 20th, 21st century material, clearly contrasts with the other objects that I'm and materials that I'm using, right? So, you know, just to give you a quick sketch here, like that doorway there references Federal-style architecture, right, the sort of like late 18th century neoclassical revival we saw in the United States. These are Pennsylvania long rifles, right, which is this sort of like highly mythologized object from the American Revolution, right? You know, I remember in my high school history class there was all this narrative about, oh, we have these, you know, we had these fancy rifles, so we shot the British, you know, officers and blah, 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 you know. So there's this whole myth built around these objects, right? And then, you know, also thinking about, you know, people ask me a lot about the hands. They're sort of like a didactic tool, right? So I just actually went to the National Museum of American History for the first time today, which sort of felt like 2 hours of indoctrination. But there's this language of sort of, you know, trying to explain how something might have been used, right, or how a body might have related to these things. So that spinning wheel, right, as if the hands were about to sort of put it into motion, right? So let's actually just hop over to the other side, and I'll give you a quick introduction to that body of work. So early America, I'd been sort of like happily chewing away at this body of work from, you know, the fall of 2014 through, say, summer of 2016, and it's a sort of very, like, you know, like, it's sort of like academic concern, right? Okay, let's think about how we construct and retell our history. And then November 2016 happened, and not that I was sort of unaware of this, but the sort of poison in our national myth became much more virulently apparent, right? And so this body of work has all happened since that point in time, and hence it being called a state of permanent discontent. So these are a little bit less tightly sort of cohesive than those bodies of work, but so, for example, this fellow here, this is called A Story Told Too Many Times, and I think about it as almost, it's like a monument on life support, right? So, like, we tell the same things over and over again, and I've said this to a few of you already tonight, but yesterday I was in here and someone asked me, oh, is the gray a reference to the Confederate monuments that are being taken down now? And I said, you know, it wasn't conceived that way, but that's too beautiful to, you know, to ignore, right? Because I've been so fascinated by seeing, you know, the images online of these, you know, these dead racist white guys being craned off of their plinths in the dark of night by men wearing masks so that they're not recognized and, you know, and hunted down by the, you know, fanatical, you know, remaining Confederates, right? So you know, here is this monument with an oxygen tank and an air mask as if, you know, it's sort of trying to fumble forward. Other things in this, this is called Object for Difficult Times, right? This happened right after the inauguration. I was just in my studio and was kind of like, well, let's make a fire extinguisher, right? It's not going to do me much good. That one behind you right there is called 8 Dead White Men I Found on the Internet and 2 Averages. This is actually coming from the fact that a lot of institutions are now digitizing their collections via 3D scanning. So in the middle, those 8 figures are all things that were just available online, right? You can download a 3D model of Abe Lincoln's life mask or Vespasian or Napoleon Bonaparte. And then the ones on either ends are actually averages I created in 3D modeling software by sort of like glomming them all together into one sort of superimposed average, right? So that's why they look kind of nightmarish. You know, there's a ton more going on in the work. This is kind of probably pretty self-explanatory, but it happened pretty quickly one of these days, right? So, you know, the sort of upraised fist. But that's a really brief introduction to what's going on here. I'm more than happy to field any questions you may have or talk to you sort of one-on-one as the evening goes forward. But.